Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. I'm so excited to come before you again. You know, I was on Facebook Live earlier and Instagram Live, and I see some of the people joining and has joined me at this point. I do appreciate you doing the same thing. So, again, we have an outstanding show tonight. Hump day, hump day, hump day. Let's have some fun. So my co-hosts on here, I know they're excited about having an opportunity to come before you again. But before we get into that, I want to just kind of share this with you. You know, the question is why you want to take time to listen to Talking Sports Plus. The reason why, your talking partner, I mean, talking heads, and your partners talking about really about sports on a level that don't relate to where we're trying to go. We're adding a plus to it. And the plus means that we are focusing on historical black colleges, university, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. Now, we want you to make sure you call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. And we want you to go to the web link. The web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. And let me take this opportunity now to introduce my co-host and let them offer their welcome to you. And my first co-host, and we're going to let ladies go first, the lady of the show. And I tell you, she is with such a lady. She's a very special person. She's a millennial, and we're so proud to have her. But besides that, some people may know that's my daughter. I'm so proud of her. Better known as Coach Lauren D. Smith. How are you, Lauren?
I'm good. I'm well tonight. I'm excited to be on the show. We got some good things to talk about. A lot of stuff been going on. And I'm ready. So let's go ahead and get it started.
Hey, let's get it started. Lauren, thank you for joining us tonight and taking the opportunity. I want to share with everybody before I move to introduce my next co-host is that Lauren will be leaving on Friday, on Saturday, heading up there to Huntsville, Alabama, to be up there where those Bulldogs are. And she's going to I knew that would wait before, but I would give him a chance to get his introduction too. But she'll be going up on the hill, and she'll be working on her master's, and we said congratulations. And as she stated last Monday night, we want to thank everybody for playing a part in the milestone celebration as well as the trunk party. Thank you for everything. I thank you for taking the opportunity to share that with us on Saturday night. All right, since I called out that bulldog, this young man, he's as far as the north you can go without leaving the state of Alabama. You know, he's so famous up there, he's known to everybody around. Ain't no fun when the rabbit had the gun. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards, that Alabama A&M Bulldog. Let me hear from you.
How y'all doing tonight? How y'all doing tonight? How you doing, Dr. Smith? How you doing, Lord? Glad to have you. Glad to have you back. got some hot topics tonight, but Hot topics. Let's get this thing going, Dr. Smith.
Let's get it cranked up. It's good to have both of y'all here. I appreciate Coach Tremaine as well as Coach Lauren. Other two co-hosts, you know, they're doing their duties on Wednesday night. They're in revival. So they're going to be back with us next week, and they're going to be ready to go. That's Coach Tony Stallworth as well as Coach of the Airways, Darren E. Train Elliott. All right, team, we're going to get this thing cranked up, crunked up, however the young folks say it. We're going to get it because, you know, these are some of the things that's happening. With the title of this show is Athletes Controlling the Narrative of Sports. And we're going to talk about professional athletes. We're going to talk about college athletes. And whatever the situation, the expertise we have, we're going to share in regards to some high school, middle school, AAU, and we're going to see how athletes are beginning to control the narrative dealing with the sport. Now, the first thing we want to, just a topic that we want to focus on, and I think they want to get to it as early as I want to get, because it's been raving all over the airway for the first few days of the week. And it started this weekend with Jalen Hurts, the quarterback for the University of Alabama the last 2 years in a battle with Tua, and he made some statements. And you could have heard it. It just sent shockwaves over everybody in Alabama. Everybody got a little nervous. They didn't know what was going on. athlete speaking out when he wasn't supposed to speak out because he played for Nick Saban. But the point is, he spoke out. He shared his feelings. And, you know, we got our point of view about that, but we want you to join us as well. You can call in 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I identify you with the last four digits of your cell telephone number, and then I ask you to come on and do what? Let us know who you are, and then let us know where you're from. And then you can jump into the conversation. All right, team, Give me your thoughts on it. It was raining. It was burning. It was hot. It was banging. Everybody had their opinion. And we want to look at it all angles now. We want to look at it. Jalen Hurts made the statement that no one had talked to him. They asked him a question about the ballot. Nobody talked to you. You know, everybody walked by, coaches as well as individuals, and he felt like he had to share his thoughts. That's not saying he was going anywhere. He wasn't going to compete. But the bottom line is athletes controlling the narrative. I want you to think about that. But y'all jump in and share your thoughts, co-host, and whoever's going to be first, come on with it. Let's talk about Jalen and his comments because everybody else have talked about it. So let's talk about it.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay. I'm so glad you let me go first, Trey. I was having this conversation on Monday night, and I'm just going to go ahead and be real and tell everybody what I said. I said, what is he talking about? Didn't nobody tell him nothing. Who are you? What are we going to tell you something for? You knew that when they put that boy in that game, that boy won that game. You knew it wasn't going to be easy. You knew that. Alabama has, in my opinion, had the best receivers in the nation. If you cannot get those receivers the ball right now, you do not need to be playing. All that taking off running, I'm not interested in that. I want to see those receivers run their routes, and I want to see you hit them. If Tua can hit them accurately, let's let Tua play. If Jalen does the job better, we can just keep him in and just roll with the punches. But for him to get up and say, then nobody talk to him, nobody tell him nothing. Come on, man. This is not the NFL. Nobody sit and talk to you about nothing. What are we talking about? What are we discussing? Nothing. You're going to have to compete for the job. Okay, boom. That should have been it. Shouldn't have been no more discussion about it. If you didn't want to compete, you shouldn't have came to Alabama. He was just so blessed to have been thrown in a situation his freshman year where he didn't have to, in my opinion, really fight for the job. The job was already his when Blake Barnett got in there acting like something was wrong with him. The job was his, so he ain't had to fight no time he's been in Alabama. Now you got to fight. Now it's a problem. Now didn't nobody talk to you. Didn't nobody talk to Blake Barnett either. I'm over that now. That really made me mad when I heard that. So that's my 2 cents on it.
All right, Coach.
All right, Dr. Smith, I'm gonna come in here with this. As y'all know, history repeats itself. And I'm glad Lauren said that last comment right there. Jalen Hurts snuck in after winning the game against USC. Was it USC, Dr. Smith?
Yes.
When he
came in to USC. He
snuck in with that. And I think the narrative, like Jalen Hurts is saying, the narrative is written, Dr. Smith. Tua has snuck in under Jalen Hurts. We said the same scenario with Jalen Hurts with Blake Barnett. If he's not developing to become a better quarterback, we can't use him at Alabama right now, Dr. Smith. And I know, you know, we can sit up here and preach he's 26-2, but Dr. Smith, we gotta go with who's ever win this competition. I'm gonna say that again. But for him to lash out like that, that's telling me mentally he's gone. Because if I'm fighting for a position and trying to get, be the number one guy, I'm not talking to the press about that position. I'm going to talk about the best man winning the job. And that's my take on that, Dr. Smith.
And we can look at it all kind of ways, but again, I want everybody that's listening to the show to remember, it ain't 10 years ago when you're dealing with athletes. And athletes going to say what on their mind when you're giving them opportunity. That's why Nick Saban did so hard to try to control those guys from talking so much to the media. But this time, got it. This young man said what was on his mind, right or wrong or indifferent. He said what was on his mind. He said how he felt. Whether we agree with him or not, we may have thought something went on and something didn't go on, but he shared his mind. But that's not saying that, you know, he's controlling the narrative. He said the narrative been controlled because everybody else said he didn't have a chance. That didn't say he didn't have a chance. And I don't know exactly because no one gave him a chance. I'm quite sure Nick Saban had a conversation with him. It ain't going to be the conversation we think he had because – If he is, he becomes hypocritical. Now, I call him that, and I'm going to say that why I said it. I listened to Nick Saban about 2 weeks on ESPN. And you know he said something. The question came to him in the interview was, how do you coach the young millennials? How do you coach these young men now? His answer was, I tell you what to do. Shut up and play the game. He told him, said, what I do is I tell them what, he said, I share with them what they need to do. Then I explain to them. You remember that? I don't know if anybody heard that. I explained to them how it's going to benefit them. Same thing Coach K said up at how you've been 70 years old, how you stay in the game. I said, I talked with him. I said, so the thing about it, we don't know what happened, but we're just listening to his side of the story, but I don't think that should be a point where something wrong with that individual sharing his opinion. If that's what it's all about, and if both coaches on here know, young people are going to say stuff on their mind. You ain't got to like what they say, but they're going to say what's on their mind. And I think that's one of the things that we're looking at and we're dealing with, right or wrong. He shared what was on his mind, got it off his chest, and he's going to move on. If he don't play a down or not, he play all the down. It's out the way now. And I think that's the way Nick Saban handled situations. He may have missed out on an opportunity to talk to it, and he's just sitting down talking with it. Who say he did, who say he didn't. But Jalen said he did. So he just said coaches. He didn't say Nick Saban. He said coaches. And your fans went crazy. Well, he's talking about Nick Saban. He might have talked with it. He might be talking about the quarterback coach. He might be talking about somebody else. So my point is, that's something I'm not saying it's going to cause any rip because those young men are going to go and do what they're supposed to do. But we got to realize they are controlling their own narrative now. No matter how it happened, they say what's on their mind. But to take this long to say it, it was good. He should have said it a long time ago, then we got it out. But and I'll tell you how he would have piled on them then. But the point is, he said it, move forward. Let's move on. And because Nick Saban can't stand to be without it. I don't care what anybody say now. He can't take her. Two of them may step on a nail tomorrow. Two of them get hurt tomorrow, and you cannot put Mac Jones in there. And I'm going to tell you that now. If he was, he ain't ready for that. So the question is, I think Nick Saban explained it today in the press conference. He told everybody, you know, it's the same old same. We're going to do what you're supposed to do. Whoever's going to win this job wins the team over, winning, and we're going to move forward. Jalen said, I ain't going nowhere. I'll stay here. You pay me for a game, and I still go. And I'll go to another school. But the bottom line is, he's going to be there. But I would rather have him there than to not have him there. Because you're not guaranteed when a player only plays 30 minutes. You're not guaranteed. So you got to take an opportunity to use. I think Nick Saban worked it out, but I just believe he's a man of his word, what he said on ESPN, and he will stand by that. He'll sit down, he'll talk, he'll get that cleared up. So let the competition continue on, and let's go. But it's all about athlete controlling the narrative of sports now, you know. And the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Share your thoughts. Just press 1.
Not this one.
Let me get the promo out. Last four digits of your cell or telephone number. Then let's you come on and share your thoughts. We need you to call in. We got a bunch of people all night. Just push the button. You know how to do it. Press 1. Go ahead on, Coach.
Dr. Smith, this is my question right here. What are we talking about as coaches? What do we need to talk to Jalen about after that game? Do we need to console him after that game? What do we need to talk about? That's my question.
I don't know what he's asking for you to talk to him about. And
yes, sir.
I don't know, but we're coaches. Still had to talk to our kids. And we didn't have a situation ourselves that we had to talk to our kids. Just remember, whether we like it or not, we had to talk to our kids because it might have been a situation somebody else manipulated. It might have not been in their play. It might have been. So I'm just saying we have to see it. That's the way I see it as a coach. I'm just saying if he said no one talked to him, then we can't jump on him because he said it, then maybe somebody didn't talk to him. Maybe the way they should have talked to him. I don't know. I just know when we're dealing with children, millennials now, you have to make sure because they're going to ask you the question over and over again. He may ask him a question. I'm going to start. I'm just saying, I don't know exactly, but if he said it and talk, we'll take him at his word, but I'm just saying, it's done. He's going to move forward. Any way it goes, he's not going anywhere. Nick Saban ain't going to let him go anywhere because he ain't going to take no chance of even one of them quarterbacks getting hurt and not have a quarterback. And people can say what they want to say. Those other guys can't do that work. And you do. And we'll stay there, as Coach Smith said, we got the great, great receiver. They young. Y'all got to remember that. They young. And the thing about it, we just have to see how it's going to work in his favor. So I just want to make that point. I just want us to think about that when we think about how we're dealing with millennials. I'm not coaching them as much as both of the coaches I have on here is coaching them. And they know it's a little different. We've had the discussion before. It's a little different. It ain't the same way as coaching 10 years ago. And he's one of the millennials, too. So he shared his point of view. It's done. It's over with. Let's move on. Everybody else spending the time talking about it. But he done with it. He said what he needed to say. And his response is everybody, well, he wrong. He ain't a team player. Hell, he's been a team player. Let's keep it real now. He's been a team player because he accepted that because he could have raised sand right after it. But he did. So, but it ain't too late to share your point of view because you held it in. So, but you can share your thoughts on that, coaches. I was just giving my point about that.
I'm going to say this about the situation. I think it's a lash out to everyone that's counting him out in the quarterback position.
Bingo.
But
that's what it
but
is.
But now, I'm going to say this, Dr. Smith. I think it's a cry for help, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
When you make statements that the narrative is already written, that means you mentally have already given up on the quarterback position, honestly, to me. Now, for me, I'm going to fight for the position. If I lose it, I can look at my options. And that's what he was talking about in that speech. But it's not time for that speech yet. And like you said, Dr. Smith, you're still the man until you lose your job. This summer, you're fighting for your job like it should be every year at Alabama. You're fighting for your job. But for you to lash out and say that makes me question him right there, Dr. Smith. Like, I understand, you know, we can say, you know, Georgia wasn't prepared for Tua. He came in, made a play. I hear all that. But for this man to go in to camp with these questions in his head talking about ain't no coach came to talk, what are we talking to you about? Like, that's my question for Jalen Hurts. If he can hear us on this radio, what are we talking to you about? I mean, it's your job to lose. If you go out there and perform the way you're supposed to perform, you will get your job. The job isn't lost, Dr. Smith. I don't know why people getting that twisted. The job ain't lost. Now, I know who I want to be quarterback, but the job is up to you to lose it. If you do what you're supposed to do, Tua got to wait his time. But I just think he's mentally gone, Dr. Smith. When you lash out like that, you're mentally gone. When you talk about what everyone else thinks, you're gone. And his father said a statement at the end of the year last year that said the same thing, Dr. Smith. He said, you put yourself in that situation right there. You put yourself in that situation. You open the door, and he took the chance. He made the play. So that's on you. And that's what his dad has said. But his dad gave him a way out early, Dr. Smith. People ain't realized that he gave him a way out. If he ain't going to start, and he was looking for the speech. Nick Saban did right not to have the speech. It's up to Jalen Hurts to lose the job in camp. So,
and
like you said,
Dr. We look at,
go ahead, Dr. Smith. Go ahead.
And we said, see, the same thing you said about Jalen Hurts, same thing Tua dad has said the same thing. So, because you said if he didn't attempt your game, he would transfer. See, everybody keeps forgetting about that part. So my point is, I want to take that out of it. All I want to say is, he said what was on his mind. If it was bothering him as an individual, he said it, whether he said it public or not. The problem I have with people is that he said it public. He ain't supposed to say it public. team player. He said it, and he let it go. Let it go. That's all I'm saying. Let it go. Go out there, win, lose, or draw. I still think he's going to compete just as hard for the job, but he needed to get that off his mind now. And we can't say what he was exactly saying, but since he put the coaches in it, everybody, Alabama fanatics, go crazy. Oh, Coach
right.
Saban can't do wrong. Nick Saban can do wrong like everybody else, just like the topic we're going to get to next, Ohio State. So I don't want us to get caught up saying that this is not an opportunity for everybody to learn from, because I think it is. And like I said, I'll go back to what Nick Saban said. He understands how to coach it. If this young man said that, I think Nick Saban and went to the point and sit down and had a conversation with him. And y'all said, for what? Because he's concerned about what's going on with him. And his thing is, Nick Saban always said he tried to coach all parts of a kid, all parts of a kid. If there's something mentally, physically going on with him, he got a concern, Nick Saban's going to address it. I just think the public, the one went berserk and in regards to what he said. He just said, and that's why I say he said how he felt. So what? Why can't an athlete say how he feel? I think we get upset because he said it, because he played for the University of Alabama. He's in the battle for the, and I'm going to say this, the battle for the quarterback position is secondary to his what he had to say. Once he said it, now he can do what he needs to do. So we'll see how it turned out. But I just have a problem when everybody want to jump on him because he said the same way LeBron, when he was told to shut up and we're going to get to that too and play and bounce the ball. I don't care, he's still an individual. He was told by somebody to shut up and just play bounce the basketball. And, this, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so LeBron taking the benefit of him, he's doing a documentary on it. You know, he's going to tell him, shut up, you know what, and play ball. That's what the one of the things is, you're telling the kids, just play the ball, don't complain. Some people going to complain. Jerry Jeudy was complaining like crazy last year on Twitter. Y'all may not saw. So, but the point now, he's a star. He's going to be a star because he think he's going to get the ball. So I'm saying they got a right to say what they need to say. As long as you got Twitter, as long as you got Instagram, as long as you got these social media, and be able to use it, these boys going to say what they want to say. And when they say it, we can't get upset. That's not going to stop them from coming because, you know, their ultimate goal is to get to the pros. And they know the way to go through it is Alabama. So the point is, but they still going to say what's on their mind. Because I had a call last year, Coach Saban ought to shut Jeudy up, get rid of him because he's a bad. He was saying what was on his mind. He felt like he should have been playing more. But you told him he was going to play more. Yeah, we talking about he had to earn it, but you told him when you're in the living room that he's going to play. And the thing about it, that's what happened. Nick Saban knows how to handle that and deal with that. But you can add your conversation to this, 334, or add your expertise, 347. 857-4192. So you can call in and you can share your thoughts as well. Any other thoughts on that? We're going to jump and go on that major topic, The Ohio State University. Right on the other end. Any thoughts?
No, who said that?
Oh, I have.
We here.
Okay, hold up. I have a caller on and that caller want to share their thoughts. The caller with the 0026 number, I am about to make you live. Share your thoughts. Tell us who you are, where you're calling, and jump in with the conversation.
Hey, Dr. Smith. This is Charlotte H. Black calling. How are you tonight?
Hey, fine, you, Ms. Black. It's good to have you again.
Good. I'm doing
from
fine.
From Monday night to tonight. It's good. All right.
Well, I'm a sports fan, too. Play anything, but I'm a big sports fan. But in talking about Jalen at the University of Alabama, he's hurt. And it should have gotten to this point. Both of you have made, in fact, everyone has made excellent points and comments. It is a cry for help and attention because it shouldn't have gotten to the point where it became public. Because no one did talk to him. He's telling you that. And I think that if a conversation had been had, he was embarrassed. He was hurt. He was pulled out. Someone else came in and won the game. Things of that nature on a national stage. That's hurtful. And if you're concerned about him being a star and playing the game, be concerned enough to him as a human being and a person and an individual to sit down and have a conversation, because he may have questions. What could I have done better? You know, how is this going to affect my future? Is this going to hurt me? And get into the pros. Things that, you know, anyone would have questions about. And so I didn't have a problem about him speaking out publicly. I just feel like it shouldn't have gotten to that point. And when you can't get the attention or get your questions answered in a private conversation, this is what normally happens. People go public. And maybe now that he has their attention, whether good or bad, but I just get tired of seeing particularly our black athletes, as long as they're winning, as long as they're doing what is right or what people assume should be right for everyone else. And then when they do have problems or have questions, they turn and they spit them out. And I'm just really tired of that. In the same situation that I feel with some of the things happening in Ohio State, you know, let's start spitting out our athletes, our black athletes, and thinking that they don't have an opportunity or a brain or the sense to say what's on their mind. We're still Americans and individual rights.
Awesome, awesome, Black. We really appreciate you. You join us, and don't go away. You can, you know, you can just stay online, and when you have some, you know, state you want to add, you can add it on. And we appreciate you. Appreciate you taking time to share your thoughts on that. All right, co-hosts, y'all have any other response in regards to Jalen before we move to the topic that is blackballed up with you, the Ohio State University?
I got one more thing to say. Jalen, you just be ready for September 1st. All this talking, just be ready for September 1st. You're playing Louisville. That should be a full touchdown win. Be ready September 1st.
All right, we'll see if it happens, and four touchdown. But the thing about it, that's what the show is all about: athlete controlling the narrative. And when they say things, they begin to control their own narrative when they be able to speak out. So we'll move forward with that. But let's look at the Ohio State University, and our topic we're going to focus on. You know, when they eventually there was reports that came out, starting with after Courtney Smith had come out and Brett McMurphy shared his on Wednesday, Urban came back on, well, sorry, Zach Smith had an interview 11 o'clock on Friday night, and then Urban put out a statement in regards to he did not understand the question. I don't know what it was. And I really want us to talk about it. Now, by putting it that way, I want us to kind of talk about, will this committee they put together, will they be objected about to determine whether Urban Meyer will stay at Ohio State or will he go? It's much more than that, but that committee got to do the investigation, determine what exactly is going on. What's your thoughts on that?
I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
I really believe that you should let him go ahead and stay there. In my opinion, you kind of too late trying to make a coaching change. Let him know this will be his last year if it's that big of a deal. Let him know that it'll be his last year this year, and hopefully they win a little bit more games. And but we they're committed. That's a waste of time. Just it's a yes or no answer. And I really believe this is a distraction to Ohio State. For one, I didn't see Ohio State being that good, not with what they have shown me and what they have returning. So this is just a distraction, and I really feel bad for the athletes, not anybody else, but the athletes. So just go ahead and let them stay. Committee, don't understand why you were assembled, but just let them stay.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Smith, I agree totally with Lauren right there. I understand, you know, the seriousness of this situation, but like you said, you're so late in the game that it's hard to do anything right now. I think they should let them stay too. I agree with that. But now, It's going to really question the school right now, the authoritarian level. That's a real serious offense if he do. Now, you know, like you said, Dr. Smith, Urban Meyer trying to clean up his comments and what he said when he was asked the question, but it looks bad for him. But as for the school, for their sake, I would keep Urban, but keep Urban right now for Ohio State's sake. But now, as for NCAA, I think they're going to chop him, Dr. Smith. That's me on that thought.
Okay. All right. Let me kind of put some layers to this, because I think it's what we got to keep in mind. Domestic violence is something we're not going to accept. No one on this show is saying anything in their statement in regards to Urban Meyer. Now, the question was, did Urban Meyer know that this young man had committed that offense against his ex-wife in 2015? The only problem we have with this when we're talking about keeping him is that in 2009, he was a part of Urban's staff then at University of Florida, but he hadn't been in other staff since then. However, in 2015, we have all of this information coming out saying that Courtney Smith, in an interview, said she told Shelly Myers, and she said she would have to tell Urban. Let's not get confused, because I think that was shared, and how the response was is the problem here. I think it would have been good for Urban when his question was asked of him. But see, one thing about it, when you get before your media, I don't care what you're doing, what form you're in, political or whatever, when people start asking you loaded questions, you have to be very careful how you answer the question. And to answer the question, sometimes it's better to say, well, we know what had happened, and we discussed it for the hiring practice. We kept him around for that purpose, or we was trying to mentor him, or whatever it is. But to just say, like Urban said, that he did not said he didn't think it was something that happened, and it was then eventually came back and said he didn't know anything, did nothing happen in 2015. But that reporter had all the information. And it was true, one of the pundits that said recently, when they ask you one question, and they 9 times out of 10 got 10 more questions because they already have the information. So one of the things that Urban made a mistake to say that I didn't hear the question and I need to work on that part, but the bottom line is this is an issue that's serious because you got so many layers of it. And I'm just trying to share some information. As, you know, dealing with Title IX on a college campus and a lot of individuals who works on a college campus, university has policies. State have policies dealing with employees and so on. But in Title IX, you are to report it to, as Urban said, he reported it to who? He reported to his supervisor. Now, let's see what's happening. His supervisor is Gene Smith, an African-American supervisor. Looked like he's going to get thrown up on the bus and get ran over. So if Urban stayed, Gene got to go. So that's a concern I would have about allowing Urban to stay. But when you start looking at it morally, let's be realistic. He was on this staff, and he knew about it. And the only reason he responded to it because this young man went out and got a trespassing charge in 2018 when he was told in 2015 to stay away from the lady. So stay away from his ex-wife and the children at this time. He said he wanted to see his children. But the bottom line is he was told not to go around, and he did go around. So now everything is full-blown. We just got to see how this committed. But my question, as it was, will that investigation by that committee be objective? Will they look at all? They said 14 days they're going to have the answer. They're going to have a solution in 14 days. The bottom line now, the solution is that Urban lied. Can it be trusted? Is that a fireable offense? For some people, maybe not. But if you walk into your job and your supervisor asks you something or somebody asks you something and you lie, you're going to get fired. That may not happen in every job, but it might not happen in this job. But just to share that thought with that, so the question is, will this committee, they put together three board members and three other individuals who are going to come together and make the decision, and in 14 days they gave that time frame. So they can come with the decision tomorrow if they want to. However they want to do it, but they got to look at all avenues, Title IX, when it's not just having boys sports, girls sports, male sports, female, same equal number, but you have a reporting process, which is called mandatory reporting. We have that in public school system, and if you don't do the mandatory reporting of something when it's told to you to DHR, I don't know where in other state, DHR, then you'll be arrested, and you will be fired. So the point is, the question was, he said he reported it. Now, the question in Title IX, you can report it, but it's still other steps you have to take. So the point is, that's what we're dealing with. What's your thoughts on that? Will this committee be objective?
First of all,
there you go.
It depends on how he made the report. If he made the report of a laissez faire situation, because we don't know how he made that report. If it's something that he took seriously when he made the report, it would come across seriously to the supervisor above him. Regardless, the procedure should have been in place at Ohio State, even if he was lackadaisical in making the report, even if he went to the supervisor and said, this is what I've been told. The investigation should have started right then and there. And protocol and procedures should have been followed. It looks like they're doing protocol and procedures now, but this seems to be after the fact to me. So it just depends on how the report was made, when it was made, and what happened after that report was made, and when did the investigation start? Or now, because it's now a public situation, are you trying to put procedures into place after the fact? It's too late. So the horse is already out of the barn.
Exactly. It's black, exactly. And that's what we're dealing with. That's why they're taking this, the committee is taking the time, because they could have made the decision based on the statement that he made in at the Big Ten Media Day and saying that he didn't know when he really did know it wasn't nothing to it, he did know, so he was not being honest. It's not a fireable offense, some job. But the point is, these big-time coaches say all big-time coaches lie, so give me your thoughts about that, because that came out of some discussion. So all these big majors, these million-dollar coaches lie to the media, and it's all right to lie to the media. What's your thoughts on that, team? Is it all right to just lie to the media or just to be honest? What's best? Because this got him in a situation of pimple.
You can't tell them what they want to hear, Dr. Smith. You can't give them what they want. So if it takes lying then and cleaning it up later, I agree with it. But they will not tell the press what the press wants to hear. I don't think nobody famous does. They don't tell the press what they want to hear.
Okay.
I'm about to be funny, but it's not just the press. I found myself when talking to parents and children, kind of not lying, but not being totally honest about things that could happen to their children down the road. Prime example, I don't want to tell them myself, but I guess I'm going to have to do it. Sometimes, guys, it's good to build a kid's confidence. It's good to build anybody's confidence, but you know deep down in your heart that child might not make it where they want to make it. They may go D3, D2, and they may not be a D1 athlete, but you got to keep telling them they are, just confidence-wise. But I think all coaches lie every level. I think you lie at some point. May not be as major as Urban Meyer's lying about that situation, but at some point I think everybody tells a little story to cover their behind now, and they'll deal with what happens later, like Trey said. I'll lie now and just deal with it later.
Just to kind of jump in right now, I think being creative and motivator sometimes is a such thing as creative motivator. And you can motivate these young people because the student may not be playing at a level that you can play. And all they need to hear something that's going to get them motivated to go and do something and take it to another level. Because I experienced something that's been a long time ago. We was at football practice when I was coaching football. And we run a play, and the punishment was to run. Point I'm trying to put out about that, we knew we were going to make them run, but then we didn't make them say, okay, go do it better next time. Then, you know, we told them we were going to make them run, but then we said, you go do better the next play, then we might not make you run. But we had told them, so if we don't say that we're going to make them run, we just tell them, you're going to run, and then they don't run because they did something to make it better. I just got to be creative with it, but I don't believe that you have to be lied by something that's so serious like that when someone comes and talk about domestic violence. You have to be honest, and I think Urban made a crucial mistake in not being honest. No matter what's going on, these coaches are too calculated. These coaches know everything that goes on, all of these coaches at that high level. So for you to kind of like say that you just didn't handle that question right, then when are you handling questions right when you're dealing with situations like that? So that's something to think about in sports and a lot of in life. It's really in life. You know, you have to think about it. So we want to say that he lied. Everybody know he lied about that situation. And if they choose to fire him for whatever the offense they are moving toward, because we don't know. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with the situation because there's so many layers of it. And I think this investigation will allow them to look at each one of those layers and make the right decision for Ohio State, the right decision for Urban Meyer, the right decision for the players, the right decision that worked toward those individuals involved, whoever the victim or the perpetrator. They're going to make the right decision, and they got to. If it is to plead the public, because the public wanted to fight the same day on Wednesday, Thursday, and that didn't happen. So everybody began to kind of take a step back, dance a little bit, to kind of say, let's wait and see what's going to happen. Let's see how it's going to be. So that's one of the situations we did. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell number, and then we'll allow you to introduce yourself and your location, then jump into conversation. Any other conversation we got about Urban Meyer, Ohio State? Any other thoughts? Any expertise? All right, let's move to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had his NFL debut and his NFL preseason. We're excited about football. 21 days for the first kickoff. Some people said 17 because there's kickoff on Thursday night. But the NFL has started preseason. What's your grade? We're going to grade Lamar Jackson. Tell me what you saw, co-host. Tell me what you saw in that game if you saw it. Tell me what you heard. What do you think about the situation? What do you think Lamar Jackson's going to do? Because, you know, he was selected in the first round not to just be on the team. His job is to eventually push Flacco and give them a new dimension. Well, that's why they drafted him. What's your thought, team?
I'll dive in with this one, Dr. Smith. I'm going to give him a C-plus on his performance. You know, I look at Lamar, I'm going to say this. When you have an over-athletic quarterback, when they get to the NFL, they try to do stuff they don't do well to me. That's to me. Lamar Jackson tried to stay in the pocket and make passes. How many interceptions did he throw, Dr. Smith? Was it one?
One.
May have been one.
Yeah, one.
And he, you know, he sat in the pocket trying to make passes, but his strength is moving with the ball. So he could have rolled and did what he wanted to do. That's Lamar Jackson's strength when he's on the run. Lamar Jackson sat in the pocket. He threw the ball decent. It wasn't well. He threw a pick right to the man. So I'm going to give him a C-plus on his performance. I think he need to go and get the movement and don't get caught up in the Michael Vick syndrome, trying to prove to the press that you can throw the ball too. Win the game, man. Just win the game. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Great thoughts. Great thoughts. Coach Smith.
So Trey said a C. I don't know. A C, I can't give him a C. I'm going to have to give him a D. A C too high. A C means trash. A C means trash. Now, I give RG3 a C. C, maybe a B minus. RG3 looked good. Looked a little skinny, but it looked good. Lamar Jackson looked exactly how I thought he was going to look. And didn't nothing surprise me about that. I knew that was coming. I knew it was going to look like that. I knew it. And I pretend to tell people, you know, that transition from college to the NFL is a big one, just like one from college to the NBA and just like the one from high school or college to the MLB. That is a big transition. And if previous year you were not prepared, then, oh, my God, it's going to be a shock like it was. In my opinion, he didn't look good. He didn't look like I would be fighting for him to be number two. Me and my uncle having this conversation. I said, well, maybe you need to spend a couple weeks in the practice squad just trying to, you know, get used to a system. Well, he ain't spending around like a chicken with his head cut off. And we'll see. Maybe this weekend, maybe he'll look a little better. I doubt it, but maybe. So that's my two cents on that.
All right, that's some great two cents, and we'll say we got a C and a D, so we'll just call it a C minus, huh? We'll call it a C minus. So we'll kind of keep an eye for this week when they play this week or next week, and they started now. The preseason started, and it's a game tomorrow night, and it's going to continue off until the start of the season, second weekend in September. So we're excited about seeing Lamar out on the field, showing exactly what he has, and we got to see what their plan is for him in CI Turner. All right, the next thing we want to look at is LeBron James becoming executive producer for a three-part documentary series, Shut Up and Dribble. Tell me exactly what y'all think about LeBron getting into the movie business, getting into the opportunity to show another skill. Let's talk about LeBron. And I'm going to just say from the start, I'm very proud of him taking this opportunity. So L.A. was a great move for him. Now, we can join in now.
Go ahead, Lauren. You can dive in on this.
LeBron James is doing exactly what LeBron James is supposed to do. That's become a trillionaire. This is what I tell people. LeBron is moving towards retirement, okay? So he's going to branch out. He's going to have his hand in a whole bunch of other stuff, like he had his hand in the pizza place. And he's about to put his hand – he was already executive producer before because he had a little cartoon that came on TV about 6 years ago. So it came on TV, and it was really good. So he put his hand in that, and he saw how to do that. And he was in a movie about two and a half years ago. He was in a movie. So LeBron is moving towards bigger money, okay? And I'm so glad that he turned something which we thought was negative into something positive. Now he's able to tell stories, and now he's able to tell, be honest. Because a lot of people think athletes are just supposed to go out there and do their job and shut up and not say anything and watch the world go by, but that's never been the case. That's never been the case. You've always had athletes speaking out about injustice, especially we talk about that. In the 60s, you had Bill Russell speaking out about injustice, and you had the Celtics speaking out about injustice. It hasn't been just us being quiet. We've always spoken. We always put our two cents in. So I'm proud of LeBron. I think he's moving towards retirement. He's moving towards a trillionaire, and I really can't wait to see the documentary. I think it's gonna be good.
Awesome.
Well, now that Smith Lord, I'm gonna say this about LeBron. He's doing what any typical super athlete would do. He's moved to Los Angeles. and he will be in Hollywood. LeBron is bringing out a lot of, you know, little shows like, I know he got a Little League series coming on about the kids in Miami going on, and he's also talking about movies that he's going to be in. So LeBron's move to L.A. was bigger than just the Lakers. It was a power move for him and his family, and it's to make his pockets a little fatter, man. So LeBron in Hollywood is going to be a plus for L.A., but he like Lauren said, he's trying to become a trillionaire now.
Yep, and that's awesome. That's awesome. And we're so glad that LeBron is taking this. This is a new athlete. This is a new era for athletes. We're not saying that Kobe didn't do some things. There's some other people. You can go as far as back. OJ was probably one of the first one with, you know, any the movie in regards to doing commercial. He commercialized his situation. But, you know, Jim Brown, Fred Wigginson, all of them was in the movie, but to be the executive producer, that's what we have to remember, executive producer. And that means a whole lot, and it was a great move from Cleveland to L.A. Now, you still got to win some basketball games. And one of the things we just want to share and talk a little bit about, they're going on Christmas Day. They got all the big boys playing on Christmas Day. You have the Warriors and the Lakers. Is that a good game, team? Share your thoughts on that right quick before we get ready to kind of close out, because we're at the almost at the 9 o'clock hour, which is 10 o'clock Eastern time hour. What's your thoughts on that, on the Warriors and the Lakers on Christmas Day, y'all? Open up the present and enjoy yourself. Go ahead, team.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say this. You got my Lakers I've been rocking with and against my new team, the Warriors. This should be fun. I was listening to First Take today, and they were saying that the Lakers are going to get beat by 20 or 30. That's nonsense. Not going to get beat by 20 or 30. It's going to be a good game, physical game. I'm ready to see it. That's probably the only game I'm really excited to watch on Christmas Day. Everything else looks like trash. So I can't wait to see LeBron go up against Steph Curry.
Awesome.
Dr. Smith, that's big time, man, for them to get that game. It's what everybody's been anticipating. Anywhere LeBron would have went, would have been playing the Warriors on Christmas Day. That's how I feel on that thought right there. But that's big. That's real big right there. For L.A. to get back in the talks for, you know, playing against the elite teams on Christmas Day, is real big. We haven't seen this since Kobe being well.
Yep. And that's exactly what we want to see on Christmas Day. We want to see those teams that's going to bring everybody from off the dinner table to sitting up in front of the TV watching some basketball. So it was a good move on the NBA to make sure they have that game scheduled. Besides Houston, we'll be playing OKC, and you got New York playing, no, Boston playing Philadelphia. So you got a big day of activity on Christmas Day. So it's getting just like we want it to be, where it'd be exciting. Christmas is a time of giving. And some people think that it should be all about receiving, but I'm going to say giving to whoever you may give to you. But we're going to also allow the NBA to give to us as well by putting those games on television. It's been a great show tonight, guys. I really appreciate you joining us and being with us. And I want my co-host, as well as Ms. Black, she's still on there, just share some thoughts, 2 minutes of sharing some thoughts, and 1 minute, however you feel, close it out, and then we're going to shut it down and see. We'll be talking with you on next Wednesday. Co-host, as well as our guest, yes.
Let me dive in right here, Lauren. I'm finna say goodnight to everyone, and I'm going to send shots out to Alabama football for them being the only team I've ever seen sign a 5-star athlete 2 days into camp. We just got the number one inside linebacker just came. He initially signed a letter of commitment to Washington. He declined in Washington, got a pass, and he's in Tuscaloosa right now. He will be playing this year. He's in the 2018 class. Roll Tide, baby. And y'all have a good night. Right. Good night.
Awesome, awesome. All right, Lauren.
Again.
Okay, is that Ms. Black?
This is Carla. Uh-huh. I was going to say thank you for the opportunity. I always love the show and calling in. And I agree with Coach Lauren that giving him a D also on his performance. I didn't say anything when she said it, but I would certainly agree with that. So I don't know if that changes the average or not. I mean, so Deshaun Watson is my man. And but yeah, Jackson, I would have given a D on his performance the other day. So, but thank you again for allowing me to just be able to speak and call in, and hopefully others will do the same too. This is a great show. Don't let father and daughter combination that I know of on the airways, and it's really wonderful. Y'all have a great platform and a lot to offer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Black. Thank you. Thank you so much. Very encouraging. Coach Smith, you'll give us some words of encouragement. Coach Smith.
Words of encouragement. Have a safe, sane, and sober weekend. Everybody in 256, I'm coming back. I hope y'all ready. But I'm coming back. I'll be there Saturday.
All right. All right, Coach.
Good night, everybody.
All right, Coach Smith. She's letting everybody know she's coming back up to North Alabama to go to grad school and major in the area of kinesiology and look at some sports medicine in the meantime. So you have an awesome trip up there on Saturday, Coach Smith, and our prayers will be with you. And for all of y'all that listen to the show, we thank you because we're very excited. Ms. Black couldn't have said it better. We just have a vehicle that allows us to share some thoughts with everybody, and you can do the same. So make sure next Wednesday you join us, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And I just want to say what my co-host is not here, that's Coach Tony Stallworth, would say, take the night and don't let the night take you. But I'm also rounding up with what I have to say about what I always said, keep on grinding, hashtag keep on grinding. Then we also said, hashtag the Smith Way. Check us out on Friday, 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Balling with the Doc. So have an awesome night. And I always tell everybody, and they may not like what I say when I say it, and I say, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm going to bring in the music we're about to play. We don't have the rights to it, but we're going to play it. And it's one of them old versions of How Cold It Is Around Us, and it's entitled by Vanilla Ice. So we're going to let that young man, send some ice to you. So, like I said, have an awesome night.
VIP.
We'll talk with you on Friday and also next Wednesday. Have a great night. Truly, truly a blessed night.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up the stage and wax a chump like a candle. Damn. Crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Deadly.
When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit fools out of kids, don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Quick and nimble. I go crazy when I hear a cymbal and a hi-hat with a super.
up tempo. I'm on a roll, time to go solo. Rollin', hit my 5.0, put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi.
Did you stop?
No, I just drove, I kept on pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men love us, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the nine. Ready for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of eight balls. Gunshots rings out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells. Falling on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked.
Police on the scene,
you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all, I don't mean. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook where my DJ revolved it. Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother.
Hi, baby.